Good morning. The technical part of our sermon is fouled up. Our videographer isn't got it right there, so. But we do want to welcome you here this morning, amen. Thank you for coming. We hope that you will have a wonderful Christmas season. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke. Chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is the most complete record of the telling of the birth of Christ. There's a verse in Galatians 4, in verse 4, that says, when the fullness of time had come. That's an important passage, because it bears on what we're going to read this morning. There was a census, a decree of a census, requirement made by Caesar. There was found in an obscure village in Turkey a inscription by the Romans that stated that there were three taxations or censuses given by Caesar Augustus. His son, Octavius, was the one Caesar who was in rule at the time that Luke chapter 2 is describing. Rome was divided into three countries, and eventually were brought back to one under Octavian. He was a progressive ruler and followed probably his father's desire to put everyone under the tax system of Rome. And so, this decree, this requirement by the Roman emperor was made. Some believe that this was made about 4 years prior to the birth of Christ by Octavian. It was made many years before that by Augustus. Now, how on earth is God going to get Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem for the birth of Christ? They were in the wrong country, in the wrong city. Micah did not prophesy about the birth of Christ in Nazareth. He prophesied 700 years prior to that of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. How is God going to honor his prophetic word? How is he going to get Joseph and Mary to the very spot that was necessary for them to be in order for the word of God to be true and fulfilled? This decree. But the decree didn't take place when it was given. Didn't happen until at least 4 years later. Octavius was trying to restructure. He's trying to bring everything back under his control. He had many things to decide, and so this was not done right away. So we could say, well, maybe he forgot about it. No. God was in control. And God was superintending over this thing so that that decree did not come in as a requirement under Roman rule until just prior to the birth of Christ. That meant that Joseph now had to leave Nazareth. When a census was made, there were four requirements under Roman law. Number one, everyone had to go back to their place of lineage. The verse says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, listen, because he was of the house and lineage of David. The requirement was that every person under the rule of Roman law had to go back to their place of origin, family origin, lineage origin. So Joseph had to pack up and go. Now I know you've probably seen a movie on this birth of Christ, this trip that was taken. They show Mary and riding on a donkey and Joseph holding on to the reins, and probably didn't happen. They probably walked. ...108 miles... God had to move them 108 miles in order to get them to Bethlehem. They traveled a long time. Everyone had to go back to their lineage city. Number two, they had to register their family by name, men, women, and children. All had to be registered. Taxation was based upon a couple of things. Number one, the size of your family. Number two, the size of your property. So they had to register their family. Number three, they had to disclose all the property they owned. Caesar wanted to know everything about them. These three things then enabled taxation. Now, in some versions, this translation, instead of taxation, is census. It's a correct translation. But the census included these things that brought about a taxation. That's the fourth thing that would happen. This would provide the Roman tax base for the Roman nation. And so, these few early verses tell an incredible story. The miraculous work of God was accomplished supernaturally by the power of God in holding back this edict, of bringing it forth at the exact time when the fullness of time was come. Everything was in the right condition. Men were spiritually blind, politically, religiously, socially, they were anti-God. They needed a Savior. And so when all this happened, God in control, God moved this little family down to Bethlehem. Bible says when they arrived, there's no room for them in the inn. Think with me, the census happened. Everybody that had heritage from David went back to Bethlehem. The city was packed. There was no room in the inn. No bed for them to sleep in. But somehow they were provided a place that they could take care of their needs and keep watch over Mary in those late hours of pregnancy. They're put in a cattle stall. Kings aren't born in cattle stalls. But he was a king. She gave birth and laid him in a manger, a feeding trough. All this was done. And how did it register with the people that were involved in this early picture? What was the response? There were three. The angels responded. The shepherds responded. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, responded. Let's look at these things. Found for us in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 and following. Verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The angels responded. The angels' response at several significant things happened. Number one, the angels came to the shepherd's field outside of Bethlehem. They came down. It was important enough for an angel to leave God's heaven to come to earth to make an announcement. Any of you have had that happen to you since then? I think not. This angelic announcement was something. And these shepherds were just doing their job, watching the flock, keeping the sheep. I thought to myself, who better to make an announcement to than shepherds? They probably were the shepherds who kept the sheep for the temple sacrifices. So they understood what it meant for the lamb to be slain, for the sin of man to be covered. They understood that. But the angels' response was they came immediately, as God directed, to Bethlehem. Secondly, they came joyfully. How do you know that? The shepherds were sore what? Afraid. Scared out of their wits. Scared to death. Jewish history tells us that to see an angel or see God was like a death sentence. So people feared the thought of that happening. And the angel looked down on those shepherds as they looked up at the angel, and the angel said, "Fear not." He did not come with retribution in mind. He came with an announcement of redemption in mind. He came joyfully. Amen. Thirdly, this announcement the angels made announced God's eternal promise. Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God promised to David that his kingdom would not cease, that someone would eventually sit on his throne and rule the world forever. That person is called the Messiah. Here, he's called Christ. The Greek word Christ is equivalent to the Hebrew word Messiah. It was the promise God had made to these people down through the ages. And now in this quiet little town, a taxation was being made. A little family arrived, and Christ was born. They announced God's eternal promise. And fourthly, I love this. Verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, they sang a song, all God's people said. I read a whole message by some, pardon my English, nitwit, that said, nowhere in the New Testament does it say the angels sang. So when we sing songs like Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, that's wrong. It doesn't say that anywhere. I beg to differ with him. It does so right here. It said they were praising God and saying. The word praising is the Greek word that means to make song or music. All God's people said. The guy just read the book, he'd be better off. Instead of making silly assumptions. They were praising God. It was the first genuine, supernatural Christmas hymn. A Christmas carol about Christ, sung by the angels of God to the shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. Wow! I used to love to... A church north of where we lived as a young man, as I lived as a boy, sent out choir every Christmas. They went through the neighborhood and stopped at your door. They would knock on our door and sing. Now, my dad wasn't a Christian, so it drove him crazy. But we loved it. We'd go stand on the porch and listen to them sing. It was exciting. But can you imagine the angelic chorus, multitudes of millions of angels filling heaven and singing praises to God about the birth of Christ? What a concept. Unbelievable. This carol glorified God. Glory to God in the highest. That word highest has a thought, the place of majesty, the place of praise and honor. So it means two things. Number one, it pictures when they say glory to God in the highest, they are elevating God to his proper place of majesty. We have a majestic God. Amen? Amen. Secondly, it raises the tenor of praise to honor and worship of the one who is the highest, the most majestic God. It was a carol of promised peace, peace on earth, peace in the heart. Jesus said in John 14:27, "My peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." For the first time in the world, men would have someone who could come into their life and give them peace. It was a carol that proclaimed God's love. Says goodwill toward men. The translation is goodwill unto men. The thought is that God was going to supernaturally put into the heart of men his love as a token of his love for them by sending his son. All God's people said. It's an incredible thought. So the angels responded, amen. The shepherds responded, second response. There's just three things I want to notice. Look at verse 16. The shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Notice their response. This is very important. Their response was quickly. They responded quickly. Now think with me for a moment. They're probably 4 to 5 miles from Bethlehem. Out in the fields. They left their sheep to go to Bethlehem to see what the angel said, to find out if it was true. Shepherds didn't leave their sheep, not at night. They would have been unprotected. At night, they put all the sheep into one area. And then the shepherd would lay across the door into that sheepfold to guard against any one or thing that might come to steal or ravage or destroy. So they would not leave their sheep shepherdless. They would never have left them alone in those fields. But they did. This had to be something supernatural for them to leave their sheep. So they went quickly. Amen. They responded instantaneously. They didn't stand around and wait. They didn't discuss it. They just went. Secondly, they proclaimed what they saw. Look at verse 17. And when they had seen it, I love that thought, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they run to Bethlehem. Do you put yourself in these things at all? You need to just close your eyes and think with them for a moment. Be a shepherd. They're pulling their coats up. They're running to Bethlehem. They get there. They're looking around. They find that stall and go in to the stall and see there in a manger wrapped up tight like babies were the Savior of the world. They had to be astonished. It so astonished them that they couldn't be quiet about it. They made known abroad what they had saw. When they left Bethlehem, they didn't get 3 seconds out of that stall before they started telling people about what they saw. Right over here, the king, He's lying in a manger. We saw it with our own eyes. Angels told us about it. You won't believe it. They didn't get another half mile down the road. Met a group of people traveling. Stopped them and said, hey, listen, we got something we want to tell you. They told them. They finally got back to the shepherd's field. Anybody else that was within shouting distance, they just bellowed forth this wonderful, extreme story about the birth of Christ. They couldn't keep quiet. We get so used to Christmas that it just becomes another day. When we ought to look at it and think for a moment what it meant. And as opportunity provides itself, stop someone and say, could I tell you about Christmas? What it really means. They proclaimed it, made it known. One third thing about the shepherd's response, they were given the responsibility to announce Messiah. They announced the saying that was told them concerning this child. Verse 11, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The one Israel had been looking for. The one who would eventually redeem their nation and would build a kingdom. The Messiah. They said, he's here. He's here. There was one last response. Mary responded, I love this. Verse 19 it says, but Mary, angels responded. Then the angels, the shepherds went around proclaiming this truth. What did Mary do? But Mary, two things, kept all these things. Secondly, pondered them in her heart. That phrase, kept all these things, means with the thought of preservation. She was collecting and organizing all those things that had transpired all the way back to when Gabriel showed up in Nazareth and said, Mary. From that point on, she was collecting, filing away, organizing every single instant, everything that took place. She kept all those things, wrote them down, so to speak, in order to preserve them. Then it says she pondered them in her heart. The thought of that is to put together. As you recall the instances, you lock them together. Now, most of you mothers have done this. Called a baby book. How many of you ever got out your baby book? The first one's, you know, 10 inches thick. The second one's 1 inch thick. The third one's a half a page. But that first baby, man, you kept it all. You organized it. You put it all together. It's a remembrance book, so to speak. Years later, as she lived in John's house, Mary, I'm sure, was asked, "Can you tell us about that night?" She said, "Let me go get the book." She'd bring it out. They would go through the details from Gabriel's visit. To his visitation with Joseph. To the supernatural pregnancy. To the oddity of an obscure birth. The cattle stall, the manger. And the beautiful face of the Christ child. Mary responded. This is an incredible story. And thank God it really happened. Jesus was born. He did live here 33 years. He did go to the cross. He did shed his blood. He did die for our sin. He raised from the dead. He ascended to heaven and as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah is coming back. What a thought. What a thought. Lord, thank you for this lovely story about the birth of Christ. May it thrill our hearts every time we think about it and read it. And may we think about it all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.